We're back with composer Jeremy Schoenfeld. Just before the break, we heard one of his songs performed by Luther Creek, Rock and Roll Fag. Hope you enjoyed that. So, again, going back to the whole process of songwriting, when did you realize that music was where you wanted to be and what you were going to do with your life?
Well, you know, it was very early on, actually. I've been writing since I was a kid, and, you know, and all the piano lessons that I took growing up, it was very natural for me to instead of really, really learning the stuff I was supposed to learn, to incorporate what I enjoyed into music that I was trying to create.
Right.
And that sort of became a very early on, an early process for me. And the and lyric writing, you know, as I sort of was able to form better sentences, I started writing those too. So, I was one of the only people I knew who really kind of always had the idea that that was it. You know,
from
I was a songwriter from get-go.
Theater
came a little later. Theater was high school. Just because I, you know, as a songwriter, someone asked me, they'd been doing some student-run musicals at the show. They said, you'd like to write one. So we kind of took what was more of a jokey form and actually wrote a real show. So it was a natural fit for me to kind of do that and to, you know, incorporate that into my songwriting.
Yeah. It's obvious that one of your influences is Billy Joel, because we were just talking about it. What are some of the others, and what are the folks that you listen to now that people might be a little surprised that, oh, that's in your CD or your iPod?
Well, you know, when you listen to 37 Notebooks, one of the things about the album, and I was trying to do this also as a conscious effort, was, it is a wide variety of music. I mean, you know, Rock and Roll Fag has that 70s kind of rock and roll, Bowie, Ziggy Stardust kind of thing. But then you've got, I've got a lot of songs that are have that Nashville bluegrass, Alison Krauss type of influence. I admire her. I grew up on 70s rock. So, you know, when I get, influences for me, I love Paul Rodgers singing in Bad Company, for instance.
Okay.
Or, you know, but I also really... Jason Robert Brown and I kind of travel some of the same circles,
right.
And Adam Gettle, these are friends of mine, and so I really admire what they do. I'm all over the place. I love Electric Light Orchestra. I love what they did with their orchestrations. They're very lush, you know, super tramp harmonies that are lush with, you know, nice. Some of my production values when I approach an album or I approach a track will come from that kind of a lush place instead of more of a theatrical place.
So, and you wouldn't figure it would be necessarily right for Broadway, and yet one of the hits on Broadway is Xanadu, which is ELO, and I mean, it's old songs that people already know, but still, they're up there. Mamma Mia, one of the biggest hits on Broadway for years, is pop songwriting again, and Jersey Boys.
Of course, and I mean, and you look, and you know, for me, of course, one of the first epiphanies as far as, you know, bridging the gap between theater and pop was when I heard that Chess soundtrack. You know, you're listening to that first track, Murano, and it goes from this very orchestral symphonic thing into this funky Murray Head-driven, you know, pop song. And you think, wow, you can do that? Oh, that's intriguing. So, you know, it can come from a variety of places, honestly. I can be inspired by little moments in songs, entire albums, one track, a vocal. I like a lot of different things, but I'm very specific with what I like, but I like everything.
Is the Broadway musical at a turning point, do you think? I think the past couple of years have really, something that Hair didn't quite do back in 1969, 70, 71, it didn't quite shift the whole paradigm of the, almost killed the musical in a way.
Yeah.
But now Broadway's really trying to incorporate all of it. So that you've got things that go into the pop range, like Wicked, and and yet Wicked still sort of falls into an old-fashioned show in a way, almost. And, well, then you've got the real pop musicals like Xanadu and Mamma Mia, and then you've got the things that are really out there pushing the envelope a little more, like Passing Strange, but of course that was a terrible flop.
Yeah.
Marvelous music, but nobody went to see it. Where's Broadway musical right now?
Well, it's an interesting place because and we'll also sort of see how that bears out over the next couple of years with the economy the way it is, because ticket prices are obviously still incredibly high, and they have to really maintain that kind of a lot of the stuff is sort of business driven. That's not very exciting for listeners to to get into. Of course, things that the sizes of orchestras and stagehands and all the stuff that goes into the background of a show and really is the expense of a show. which is why a show like Passing Strange is a hard show to make, you know, dollar-wise back. Even a show like Spring Awakening is not a huge success, even though one would think it is. It will become one, hopefully, but it's not like, it's not the financial success that some of the major pop shows like a Hairspray or Mamma Mia or or Wicked are. So I think you have an interesting movement. I mean, I know some of the young composers out there, and I believe that there are people definitely trying to elbow in and tell some interesting stories. And I think it's needed. I think it has to, theater has to coexist between big flashier shows and shows that have, you know, something, maybe they're a little bit more intimate as far as the storytelling and as far as the rawness of the material. And I think that there are shows that are going to split the difference there. But if it just goes back to, let's say, the 80s, and it's just the big, huge, not to say that there's anything wrong with, you know, with the Miss Saigons of the world or shows like that, but I mean, a lot of people will hearken back to that as being the death of a lot of the smaller shows. Right.
And meanwhile, now we have Title of Show, which is as small as the Broadway musical can possibly get.
Right.
And might be doing okay. It's going to be interesting to watch the box office on that.
I'll be very interesting to see how 13 does as well.
The Jason Robert Brown musical.
Yeah, right. You know, I mean, there's, you know, the behemoth that is Billy Elliot is about to drop on us, and that show will be huge. I mean, right. I don't think anybody else is going to even try to compete with that. It's like Batman.
There's going to be another Sunset Boulevard year where there won't even be anything else in the Tony categories.
You know, you might as well not drop a show until next year.
Wow.
I mean, Robert can put a show down, but
right.
But yeah, it's going to be huge.
Wow. Okay. Well, they're trying Tale of Two Cities.
I really hope for, because I know some of the guys that are behind that. These are guys who come from the acting background more than the producing background, some of these guys, and they've been working at it for a long time. So I don't know whether the show's going to be, you know, particularly successful artistically or not, but the set, apparently, and the lighting are something to see. That's what I've been hearing. Have you heard that?
Well, yeah, but, you know.
Whether that's enough, I don't know.
No, Mrs. Lincoln, besides that, how'd you like the...
Exactly.
Everything is iPod this and download that. Whatever happened to good old-fashioned CDs? Well, at Dave's Gone By, we're still making them. Nearly every episode we've ever done is preserved digitally on compact disc and for sale at davesgoneby.org. And at a new low price, $10 per show, shipping and handling included. Add $1 per disc for a personalized autograph and check davesgoneby.org for multiple discounts. P2P, MP3, CD, me.
Hello, this is Jeremy Schoenfeld, singer-songwriter and composer-lyricist, and you are listening to Dave's Gone By, WGBB in Freeport.
We're finishing our conversation with the talented and delightful Jeremy Schoenfeld. Personal stuff. You were married at one point. Are you married again? Second person?
Thank you. Yeah,
kids?
My wife, one of the tracks on the album, Sarah Jane, is about my wife. And I do have a daughter from my first marriage, Alexandra, who is... 11-year-old, lovely 11-year-old, living the Manhattan life.
I don't even live the Manhattan life, lucky kid.
You're right. Although we live in Brooklyn as a, you know.
Is her wife a singer-actress kind of a thing?
She's not so much a singer, although she's an actress, yes. She's just more of a straight theater, TV, film actress.
Oh, cool. And you met?
We actually met at the Neighborhood Playhouse doing the A-Train show. She was in the program there, the two-year acting workshop, and they were interning for us. As writers, and you know, and we met, you know, after one of my shows. She didn't realize I wrote one, and she said she liked the songs. I said, "Hey, I wrote those," you know, wink, wink, nod, nod, and we ended up getting married on that stage.
Oh, Mazel Tov! That's great.
Thank you.
And so, last question for you. You can't give me the details. I realize that, but Broadway may be in your future. You're working on something Broadway bound.
I am working on a show. It's actually a very exciting project that based on a film that has a lot of fans.
Behind the Green Door?
No, exactly. Yeah, that's going to be amazing. Yeah, I'm looking forward to doing that one. It's
Scream Blackula Scream.
Exactly. It's Batman. We're gonna compete with the Spider-Man musical.
There you go.
but it's gonna be and news should be coming forward with that in the next few months. So you'll hear, you know, look for that, and you know, look, you know, if you see Jeremy Schoenfeld attached something, you'll say, aha.
Oh, and speaking of which, speaking of seeing Jeremy Schoenfeld and hearing him, November 3rd, they're going to be doing Drift at the New World Stages, is it?
New World Stages, yes.
And the people involved in that, as you said, like Adam Pascal, Julia Murney, Jared Emick, Terrence Mann. I mean, I'm sure they're adding more.
Sure, yeah. It's going to be a great big event. We're going to we're relaunching the CD, Drift, the original CD. We're remastering and remixing it, adding a couple tracks, and the songbook as well for it. So it's going to be a great evening.
But between now and then, if people want to find out what you're doing and where you're doing these benefits, can you give me your website and stuff like that?
Absolutely. If you go to www.jeremyschoenfeld.com, you can get all the information about, and it attaches you right to everything for purchasing materials to my MySpace account. You know, anything that has to do with me, and you can Facebook friend me as well, and you can we'll get you all the information there.
And just to be very clear, Schoenfeld is spelled without that extra E in there.
Schoenfeld. We removed the umlauts, but we didn't add the E. So Schoenfeld.
Jeremy Schoenfeld.com.
Correct.
And Jeremy Schoenfeld, real person. I want to thank you so much
Thank you, Dave.
For being in the neighborhood.
My pleasure. Thank you.